Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Tim, the Overseer. Welcome back to another Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. Hopefully everyone is doing well. Hope you all have had a blessed and wonderful day. It's been scorching hot here in Texas. We've been reaching 105 and over 100 degrees consistently over the past couple of weeks. But it's a blessing. I love the heat, so I'm not complaining. I know a lot of people don't care for the heat, but I can take the heat a lot better than I can the cold weather. So I'm being blessed by the weather, plus I get to get out and get a little exercise. And so hopefully everyone is being blessed, and hopefully you all are staying safe. Again, welcome to Spiritual Sense Life. Again, another Spiritual Freestyle Fridays. And this is Tim the Overseer with my co-host, Big Tape Entertainment. He's in the house tonight. And so we're going to go ahead and get into the Word tonight. We're just going to let the Spirit lead us tonight. We may not be alone tonight, but we're just going to be led by the Spirit. And we're just going to cover a few things tonight, just dealing with things that's going on. Mainly going to try to stick to the Scripture, not to stray away from that too much. So, again, I just want to let every one of you know that I love each and every one of you. So if no one has told you today that they love you, let me be the first one to tell you that I love you from the bottom of my heart, which is spiritual love, which comes from my Heavenly Father, which comes from above. All right? So thank you. I'd like to thank all our listeners for being here. Again, we know that you could be doing something different tonight, but we appreciate your time. We appreciate you tuning in. And I'm glad that you're back for another day of the Word, okay? So without further ado, we're going to say just a quick little prayer, and then I'm going to let Big Tate, he have anything he want to say before I get started, or before we get started, I'll let him see if he got something he want to say. But let's just say a quick prayer real quick. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for life itself. We thank you for our health and strength. Most of all, we thank you for our salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for being you, dear Heavenly Father, with all the love and kindness. And we thank you for being so merciful, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the saints, the brothers and the sisters that we're praying for out here. We're praying for the lost as well, dear Heavenly Father, that they find their way and that most of all they become saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come praying, thanking you for our salvation. We pray that we continue to build thereon, dear Heavenly Father, and that we continue to grow spiritually and to express love and to teach salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that your kingdom grows, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that someone be touched tonight spiritually by your word and that they receive salvation, dear Heavenly Father. And those that have salvation already, that they continue to grow with us spiritually, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. Again, I want to welcome you all back and thank Derek Oliver and his team for this platform and the time of putting everything together. And so without further ado, Big Tate, do you have anything you want to say, anything, brother, anything you have on your mind tonight that you want to share with the world?
Well, yeah. You know, I'm always going to start out with tell a friend, bring a friend to the blog talk, you know, so that's where they can actually be blessed and not anything we're talking about. So, you know, if you can, go ahead and make sure that you're pushing the number out to everybody by text message or email, how you communicate with those that you communicate with. And pretty much, man, I'm excited to see exactly what we're going to jump into on today's day. So, all right, we'll see you. Let's get it.
That brother said, all right. Okay, then, brother. All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and get on into the Word. Last night we had a pretty good night, man. I felt the Spirit last night. I felt that it was pretty good. So, again, hopefully people are blessed by the ministry and what we're doing. Again, it's not about a show or anything. It's not about, you know, who this and who that. We just want to get the Word out. We want as many people to receive salvation as much as possible at this day and time, because there's a lot of things going on and a lot of things that could be rumors. I don't like to speculate too much. And like I tell people, you know, I don't claim to know the future or anything. A lot of times people come to me and ask me about, you know, what the Bible say about this, what the Bible say about that. And I tell people, not to be honest with them, I mean, you know, we don't know the future. We can't predict what's going to happen, you know, but the Holy Spirit, you know, touches us and lets us know certain things. But at the same time, that's not saying that we are predicting the future, but we know that something is on the move. We know that something's working behind the scenes. We can feel it spiritually. And it was funny because before all this jumped off, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me in 2019, and especially coming into this year in 2020, just, hey, teach more the word, teach more salvation. Try to reach as many people as we possibly can to bring them into the kingdom, because this is what kingdom work is about. It's about salvation. That's what we want to let people know, because as we've spoken of before, there's so much distraction going on in the world. And so I'm just going to briefly just kind of touch on a little bit that I talked about last night. And that's, you know, as I've been studying this past few weeks, you know, just thinking about the seven churches and how with the seven churches, only two candlesticks, you know, the Bible talks about only two candlesticks stay lit. And the other five churches, their candlesticks were taken away because they would not repent. They would not follow in the way that Christ has called them to. And so they basically was rebellious. And you can't have that rebellious spirit. And I tell people all the time, irregardless of how we feel about the word, if we say we believe in him, we have to do what we are called to do. We have to obey. After all, you know, he put us here. And over in Revelation, I believe it's the fourth chapter of Revelation. I think it's the last verse in our Revelation is the fourth chapter. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." This is the angels that was worshiping the Heavenly Father on the throne. And it says, "For thou hast created all things, not some things, not half the things, not 25% of the things, not just a few things, but he has created all things." And it says, "And for thy pleasure, they are and were created." So the reason and purpose for your very existence is to serve and praise the Heavenly Father. And it was funny because I'll never forget, a long time ago, I had a friend. She said, you know, she said, "Tim, I just want to know what's my destiny in life. I just want to know why I was put here." And I told her straight up, I said, "Sister, you was put here to serve the Lord. We will put her to serve him." That's why the Bible says, "Let everything that has breath," what? "Praise the Lord."
Praise the Lord.
That's what we were put here to do. You know, it don't matter if the animals and birds, they praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Every animal, everything that has life in them, praise the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do. We are to give him praise, because why? He is more than worthy to be praised. And I think a lot of time about Lucifer, I just, you know, sometimes I just wonder, what was he thinking to think in his mind that he was going to take over the throne from the Heavenly Father? Now, you have to really think about that. It's kind of like a kid rebelling against his dad in his house. You have to think about, you know, he created you. What would make him think that he can overthrow the Most High? He has all power. Right. He's all-knowing, all-seeing, and all-powerful. And I just couldn't fathom myself, and if I was an angel rebelling against the Most High God, I was serving for all eternity because he's more than worthy to be praised. But apparently, you know, whatever came over Lucifer, you know, his pride, the Bible says he had a lot of pride. And so because of that, he thought that he was going to overthrow him and the angels, so they thought. And so I just wanted to touch on a little bit of that tonight, because I just felt that very, very just mysterious as to why would he try to do such a thing. I know in Revelation, the 12th chapter, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Amen. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered." Amen. And so I'm going to skip down a little bit through that, because I already know what that's about. And I'm not going to reveal too much right now, because I got to teach on this, so I don't want to tell people too much. But you can go and study and research it on your own, and you'll find out what the woman was and who the woman represents. This is symbolic, and you'll understand what those 12 stars, what that represented. Okay, all right, amen. I may even give you a hint: the children, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Okay, but it talks about the serpent, you know, and how Satan and how he drew a third of the stars from heaven. Okay. It says in verse 7, it says, chapter 12 of Revelation, it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels." You know, in thinking about this and just having a spiritual mindset and keeping it in context with the scripture, we know that the Heavenly Father already knew that Satan, Lucifer, was going to sin. You know, he already saw it in him. It's just like sometimes when you watch kids, you can watch certain people, and just by the way they act and how they are, you can just tell this is a character right here. And he knew before he did it, before he rebelled, he said, this boy here is about to sin. And not only is he about to sin, he's about to tear up my house. And that's exactly what he did. You know, he cut loose because he couldn't have his way. And so what Yahweh did, because he's so powerful, he said, you know what? He told Michael and the other angels, get them out of my house. And they defeated Lucifer and the fallen angels, what they call the fallen angels. They kicked them out of heaven. And verse 8 says, and prevail not. So it says in continuation of verse 7, it says, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. They lost. So in my mindset and my thought is, what were y'all thinking that y'all, and it's almost like, how did he encourage the other angels to fall? I mean, it was like having a coach like, man, hey, we can rebel. I've been one of the ones like, man, y'all crazy. y'all. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not following you at all.
Excuse me.
I'm not following you at all. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's kind of like having a bunch of brothers and y'all saying, no, we're going to rebel against daddy. And you know, I was raised in a house with six boys. And the funny thing is that our dad was smaller than all of us. Our dad was like someone like 5'6", 5'7". But our dad wasn't a weak man at all. He was a stocky guy, and he was always, you know, he was just, you know, we was always respected. You know, he was just a guy that didn't play. We always respected him, all six of us. And we loved our dad.
Right.
And I just couldn't imagine, you know, one of the boys just rebel. You know what I'm saying? It's like you wouldn't have it. It's kind of like, no, you ain't going to disrespect dad, you know. And it's like these angels had the nerve to listen to Lucifer, and now they're missing out. You know what I'm saying? He's free, but the other angels are locked away in hell. You know, it says it over in Jude that they're locked away over in hell. So what was the purpose that you were locked away in darkness? You didn't lost your light, okay, because you know the angels have a light. They have a brightness about them. A light that you can't even behold. And so this is coming from the book of Jude, the first chapter, verse 6 says, and the angels, okay, they were angels at first. It didn't say the fallen angels, but they were angels at first. And the angels which kept not their first estate. What does that mean? Estate means your home, okay? If you have an estate, you know, your deed, you have a right. You have a right to live. That's what an estate means. This is your home. You have a deeded right to be here. But the word says that the angels, right, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. So it was their own doing that caused them to lose salvation, okay? So if anybody wants to talk about losing salvation, Lucifer and the fallen angels are the only one that can lose salvation and can't be redeemed. Why? Because they knew better. They were made perfect. Okay? They knew better. See, as mankind, we were made innocent. Okay? That's why the time of Adam was called the Age of Innocence, because they didn't know certain things. And this is why Yahweh told them not to touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Because they were innocent. They didn't know certain things. Because Lucifer came up and told him, he said, you won't surely die. That's what he told the woman. He said, for in the day, the Lord knows that in the day that you do take of the fruit, that you will be gods like him, and you will know the difference between good and evil. See, the trick is, Lucifer, he's deceitful. And we've been talking about this all for the past couple weeks, about the deceit and the deceiving of Lucifer and how he's deceiving the leaders in the church. He's deceiving the leaders in the church, and the leaders are falling for it. And Lucifer saying, see, and that's, he plays the same old game he's been playing since the beginning in the garden. You know, he's been telling people, you won't surely die. Well, yeah, you don't die. You may not die today. like Adam, you're not going to die today is what he means. And he sold angels on the same old game. Hey, man, look, this is what we can do. We can overthrow him. Did it happen? No, it failed. Adam and Eve, listen to what happened. All of mankind, we living in all this stuff, the pandemic, sickness, dying, killing, murdering, stealing, kidnapping, raping, molesting, stealing, people just evil doing, beating up people. You name it. People, you know, sleeping with the same sex. You name it. They doing it. And the Bible also talks about that, how in the days of Noah, will be the same as it will when Christ returns. We are in those last evil days. This is the trick of Lucifer to mankind. His job is to, he's the father of lies. He's the first liar in all existence. He was the first one to lie. He lied to the angels. He lied to Eve and Adam in the garden. He's lying to us now. He lied to some of these pastors in the church that believe in some of the stuff that he led them to do. He lies to people in these secret societies that want to be in these great cults like the Illuminati and these different organizations. He's lying to you. I've met so many people in these different organizations, have family members in these different organizations. And it's amazing some of the things that they say. And it's like, man, you just don't know. You being played. Like we used to say back in the day, you being played. Lucifer is playing you. That's exactly what he's doing. He's playing you like a guitar. You know, he just plays. And that's what he does. Yeah. And so I think about this a lot of times in reading these scriptures and just researching the scriptures. Watch this. Let me finish reading Jude, the first chapter, verse 6. Now watch what happened to these angels that left their own habitation. They left their own home. Man, you're not going to get me to leave my home if I ain't got to. I ain't going to do nothing stupid to get kicked out, right? This is home. Where am I going to go? But they were kicked out into outer darkness, which is the universe. That's why the universe is dark and black. They were kicked out into darkness because where he is, which Paul said is the third heaven, because there's three heavens. There's one, the sky, where we live. That's the firmament. Then you got the other one, and I used to know all three of them names. There's a name for all three of them. Then you have the universe where the stars and the moon and the sun is. And then Paul said there's the third heaven where he is, which no man, no one can go there. You can't reach the third heaven. You think the universe is far, heaven is far. You can't get, see, heaven is so far, a lot of people are not aware about where this. Heaven is so far that you got to go through a gate just to get to heaven. That's why on Jacob's ladder, when he was dreaming, he said, I've seen angels ascending and descending. What he was saying was he saw them in a spiritual vision that they was going up and down through a gate. They was coming to earth and going back up to heaven through a gate. Heaven is so far, you can't get there. And when Christ went up into heaven, he went through a gate. When he come back to get the church, he comes, when the Bible says he's going to ascend, he's not going to touch the earth. He's going to come through a gate because heaven is so far to travel through the universe. But he has all power in his hand. He's just going to open up heaven, and he's going to come down, and he's going to get the church. Amen. So, all glory to the Most High, brother. All glory to the Most High. Now, watch what it says in Jude, the first chapter, verse 6. We still deal with these angels that left home. He says, he hath reserved in everlasting chain. Hey, what are people gonna take the Bible for face value for what it says? Everlasting is everlasting. You know, people want to play games and act like, you know, when they see everlasting, they want to make it a temporal thing. These angels, they are done. That's it. They're going straight from hell to the lake of fire and to judgment to the lake of fire. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of fate is that? You go from bad to worse. You just got kicked out of heaven. You were free for a little bit of time. Then he reserved you in everlasting chains because you had the nerve to rebel against him. And only Lucifer is free. See how he sold and sold him out? He's free, but they locked up. And then as soon as judgment time comes, they're going straight to the lake of fire. See, a lot of people think hell and the lake of fire are two different places. Man, I'm here to tell you that, man, the lake of fire is far worse than what you can imagine. You think hell is worse than the thing that you can imagine. Revelation, the 20th chapter over there, it says that hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So the hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire got to be far worse than what? Hell. This is over in Revelation, the 20th chapter. Verse 14, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And people say, oh, you're going to burn in hell, man. You just don't know. When it talks about burn, the word translates to mean flame. That's what it says over in Luke. It's a flame. The pain that they receive is like a flame. It's like fire. So we don't know what the pain comes from, but the Bible doesn't say that it's fire. But the pain is so deep that it feels like you're on fire, but the fire is not like the lake of fire. And that's going to be unquenchable. You'll never get used to that. And so the pain that they're receiving in hell, we can't imagine. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if they're being tortured or what. But the Bible talks about how the angels, when they left, now they're in hell. And it says, watch this. It says they're in chain, everlasting chains under darkness. Hell is dark. Unto the judgment of the great day. Man, look, they're going to go from hell to judgment to like, but that's a fate. I wouldn't want that fate. Man, and you think about
you know,
it, brother.
No, I was just saying, it just sounds like it gets worse, you know, from one section to the next. Like I said, I used to hear this coming up as a kid all the time, but, you know, they don't preach this kind of stuff. So that's why we're
right.
Coming in long throat.
Amen. All glory to the Most High.
Yes, sir. I'm paying attention, my brother.
So
go ahead.
Amen, man. I like what you said. So many lost souls, man.
Yes,
so many lost souls.
Yes,
I mean, you know what? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, you know, it goes back to what we were saying last week. You better get your ticket.
Oh, man.
It's too late.
I'm glad you said
it. It's too late. I mean,
amen.
Giving them the information that they need to be successful, you know, in Christ. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's up to them. You know, well, I'm going to say them. I'm going to say us to grab it.
Right. That's right.
So, I mean, like I say, I'm definitely listening, paying attention to what you're saying, you know. So, you know, continue on, my brother. Continue on.
Amen. All glory to the Most High. Amen, brother.
Amen.
You know what? You said a word, and I'm glad you said that. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. You still saying something?
No. I'm done. I just wanted to just interject that in.
I love when you to hear your input because I'm glad you said that. The tickets are free. Get your tickets; they free. You ain't got to pay nothing. You ain't got to do nothing but surrender. That's gonna be the best reward, the best thing you're gonna ever receive in your entire existence is salvation. And I'm going to cover that tonight just a little bit. I'm going to cover a little bit what you're going to receive just for being saved. And it's better than anything on this planet you can imagine. You think Paul said best. You know, I hadn't heard it said better than any. Paul has said it better than anyone in the Bible. Paul said, I hadn't seen. Man, you ain't even seen it. So what you see it on this world today, you think is beautiful and pretty, all these expensive cars and buildings. How you think that's beauty? That this stuff is dust.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This stuff is dust compared to what is heaven. And that's the old heaven. That's the heaven now. You can't imagine what he has for us, what he was going to be for us in the new heaven. He's going to build a new heaven. Because why? Because what Lucifer and them fallen angels did, they didn't tore up daddy's house. Them boys was cutting up. And so he had to put them out, right? He had to say, Michael, hey, get them out. He had to put them out.
That's right.
Paul said, hadn't seen, nor has ear heard. Man, there are sounds in heaven. Even Paul testified to it. Paul said that you have to be careful when you speak it in tongues. I tell people, man, you can't play with tongues. You've been in said something and put a curse on yourself. Paul talks about it. Man, there are things in heaven, Paul said, that we shouldn't even utter. You have to be careful with what you know. I can tell people, quit playing. But he said, nor has it entered into your heart what he has for us.
Right.
And so we think about this and what we're going to receive, and it's afterlife, why would you want to put yourself in a position to not receive the greatest gift? The greatest gift in all existence is eternal life. These angels had it, and they chose to give it up. For what? For nothing. And you know, you can't do that. You can't lose what you have. Why give it up? You got the greatest gift. But see, we get the greatest gift. See, we get the greatest gift. We get eternal life, and we get to look the same for all eternity. I believe that's a blessing, beyond the blessing. To look young for all eternity. Give me that. You know, like they say, I'd rather have what? The Savior than silver and gold. That's what I'd rather have. Man. And so when we think about this, Jude 1 and 6, these angels gave it up. And they lost out. And so back over to Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 8. Let me finish reading verse 8 of Revelation, the 12th chapter. I'm just going to give you a little bit. Because I got to come back and teach this. I don't want to give y'all too much because y'all probably listen to me on Saturday night. We're here on Saturday nights as well. Spiritual Sense Life teaching on Saturday. We're in the book of Revelation. We are in the next church of Sardis. We're going to cover the church of Sardis tomorrow. We're going to get into breaking down that church. And then we got the church of Philadelphia. Then we got one more church, I think, which is Laodicea, which is the last church. And then we're going to get into Revelation, the fourth chapter. And we're going to move forward because Revelation is heavy. It's a lot. But I believe in taking my time and giving it to you. I know some people may want me to move a little faster, but to really know what's going on, you really have to take your time and really know what the scripture says. And that's why Paul says, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant means to ignore, to not know. Don't ignore the truth. Don't be ignorant. That's what ignorant means, to ignore. If I tell you, you know, the sign says don't go down that road, the road is blocked out, don't be ignorant and go down that road. If it's a one-way road, don't be ignorant and go down that road. So this is what we said. That's why Christ said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You're in the church.
Right.
If we teaching you the truth, don't be ignorant and ignore it. That's why Paul's, I said, man, why does Paul keep saying, telling people not to be ignorant? That's kind of, and I was like, man, is he being rude? But no, Paul is trying to get a message over to the church. Don't be ignorant. I'm sitting here telling you how to receive salvation. You're listening to it, and you doubt it. Man, you know, I pray for people that like that. But back to Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 8. Now, watch what it says about the dragon and his angels. It says that they prevailed not. Now, watch, it says, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Well, that's it. There ain't no coming back. I don't know what they were thinking, but you can't come back here. Remember that back in the day? You can't come back here. And so, you know, this is a decision. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, brother, what are you saying?
No, I was just agreeing with you that you were saying you can't come back here, my brother.
Yeah.
You
can't come back this way, brother. Verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. See, he lost his name. Even his name changed from Lucifer to devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. See, we've been talking about deceiving. And this is what we're talking about with the church. Let me share a little story with you. And I think I touched on this last night. See, when Lucifer lost the fight, he couldn't stop Christ. He couldn't get sin to make Christ sin. It wouldn't happen. He wouldn't sin. And so sin lost out. They couldn't kill him. You know, he lived to die. He went to the cross. He lived a perfect life. He was raised from the dead. Okay? He went back to heaven. And when he went back, he said, I got the keys of death and hell. I got the victory. He held him up and said, hey, look, I got the keys now. So you no longer now reign over man in this manner. All they have to do now. See, he made it easy. See, he did the hard fight. He died on the cross. He lived the life he was supposed to live. He died. He took that suffering. He took a beating that I don't know any man that can take a beating like that and just take that without saying too much, especially not having the power and authority to stop it from happening to him. He took a beating, but he went down to the grave, and he ministered. The Bible said he ministered to the souls in hell. Now, we don't know exactly what he preached. We don't know what he told them, But just a little speculation that I'm quite sure he probably let him know, hey, it's over for you guys. And so you think about that. Yeah, so you think about that. When he ascended back up to heaven, Satan said, well, plan A didn't work. It's time for plan B. So he said plan B, he told his imps and demons and devils and whatever, they have to get to work. And all his followers, that now we have to come into the church. And this is exactly what he did. Lucifer ain't concerned about the club. He ain't concerned about the football games and all the little places everybody likes to go. He ain't concerned about the parties and everything. He created all this stuff. Lucifer is not concerned about all of this distraction because of why.
Right.
He created it. He's not concerned. Right. He created it, right? So he's not really concerned. Yeah, he's not concerned about these places. All the stuff that you do is distracting you from the Most High. He's not concerned because he created it. And so where is he? He's in the church. He's on the pew. He's probably sitting next to you in the church. I'll never forget when Pastor Master spoke at our first church anniversary. And before he started preaching, it was the funniest thing. People started laughing. He said, devil, I see you. And I'm looking right at you. The devil's here, and he's in the church, and I'm looking right at you. Man, everybody was looking. I'm like, okay, this brother said he sees the devil. Where is the devil at in the church? And the brother was, you know, that spiritual discernment. What'd you say, brother?
Exactly. I remember.
Yeah, he said the devil was in the church. And, man, we were laughing, but at the same time, we were kind of serious. We kind of looked to see who's the devil. What did he say?
Hey, but he was right, though. He was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
Yeah. And so we have to understand that Lucifer is not concerned with what's going on in the club. He ain't there. He creates that atmosphere. He know that if them people was to leave the club and get in the car wreck and die, he already know where they're going. He ain't concerned about them. What he's concerned about is the person in church listening to the word. What he don't want is for you to get saved. This is Revelation, the 12th chapter. I'm sorry, Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Revelation 2. And this is verse 13. Watch what it says. He says, I know thy works, this is Christ talking, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Satan is in the church. You better know where he is. He's in the church. And that's why, you know, like the old school studies used to say, it's why so much, excuse my language, but so much hell in the church.
Yeah.
Right? I'm being for real. You know I'm right. You, man, you've seen it. You've been to the same churches together. You've seen it. How some of these folks cut up. We have folks cussing in the church, cussing on the church ground, smoking on the church ground. All kind of stuff going on in the back room. All kind of stuff going on. Satan is in the church. He wants to deceive those who's trying to get the word, those who are trying to get saved. That's why so many people go to church and say, well, man, you know what? They doing the same thing we doing. I might as well be out here in the world. See, that's what Satan wants you to think. He wants you to go on back out the door. That's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants to deceive you. He is the great deceiver. He deceived the angels, got them to fall. He deceived mankind while we live in all this. This is why the world the way it is now. And he's constantly he's going to deceive until that angel come back and throw him in the hell. He's going to throw him in the pig, going to chain him up and throw him and lock him up with the key. That's Revelation the 20th chapter. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead. What you say?
I was just saying that's good stuff. Go ahead. That's good stuff right there.
Amen. Yeah. And so I just want people to know. Because a lot of people say, well, where's the deceit coming? Who is he deceiving, man? Yeah, is your eyes open? Do you need my glasses to see? It's right there in the church. I'm telling you right now, I can go to almost any church, and you can spiritually discern things that's going on. And the Bible says, try the spirits by the spirits. That's your job, is to discern people. And no, it's kind of like when you evaluate people, it's like in a relationship. You got to evaluate a person. When you're on a date, that's what you're doing. You evaluate the person, see if this person any good, see if this person up to no good. And I tell people, man, you hang around people for 30 days, not even 30 days, people are going to tell you who they are within a week. And how some folks get caught up with some of these folks in the relationship amazes me. How you didn't know this man was abusive? Man, please. People show signs of who they are because they can't help who they are. And so a lot of times we have to discern things and know what's going on in the church. There's so much to see. And the reason I'm saying this is because it's real simple. Because when you go to the church, and I understand when people first get saved, they're on milk. They don't really know any better. But this is why the Bible says to study to show thyself approved. He gives you the same book that I got. If you say you say, you got the same Holy Spirit that I got. I don't have nothing more than you. You know, I got the same opportunity that you have when it comes to this word. Amen. Amen. And don't get me wrong, I understand we have different gifts. The Bible says we do each all have our gifts. And some people probably are more gifted than others. Okay, that is true. But it don't mean that you can't get this word. And when you get the word, the Bible says hold fast to what you got. That's Revelation, the second chapter, verse 25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast, Christ said, till I come. If I teach you about salvation, and salvation is for all eternity, and you can't lose it, hold fast what you got and teach the next person. Hey, man, he loves you. There's something better than what we're going through in this life. You ain't got to be stressed no more. You ain't got to be sick. You ain't got to bathe no more. You ain't got to comb your hair, lose your hair, lose your eyesight, get sick. Hey, we got something. Hey, man, we're laughing, but we winning on this side. Hey, man, are we not? We are winning on this side. Man. And so my question is, so you tell me, for the people who don't want to be saved, so you want to be raised from the dead looking like Thriller. Okay, all right, well, okay. I mean, brother, I'm just saying. I mean, all these zombie movies they showed on TV, I'm like, man, these folks are showing you. Y'all, I love zombie movies. I said, if you don't get right, you're going to be looking like one for all eternity. Man, get right. It ain't safe. This stuff is real, man. You know, Paul said, am I lying? You can't, man. I can't turn the TV on. When I try to watch, find me a little show, you're like, man, all this little mess. I'm like, what is this? All these. Yeah. I'm like, these folks had their one. Thank you. All that nonsense. I don't want to see that. I'm like, what is this stuff? Man, this is a Thriller dance that came out of these folks and went crazy with these zombie movies. This is stuff that they show you. They showing you stuff for a reason. Yeah. Man, salvation is the winning side. It's the best way to go. It's the easiest way to go. Hey, look, get your ticket, stay free. Salvation is easier than breathing. Salvation is easier than drinking water. Most people don't believe. People go, you got to live right. Well, first you got to get right by receiving that. First you got to believe. See, so many people want to put the carriage in front of the horse and say, you got to do this to get saved. All you got to do is have faith and believe that he died for your sins and the Heavenly Father rose and raised him from the dead. That's Romans 10 chapter verses 9 and 10, which is the plan of salvation. He said, once you do that, thou art saved. Verse 13 said, thou art saved. He sealed it up and said, you saved. That's it. Gone. So as long as people are telling you what you got to turn it back and flip and walk up the wall and walk on water and do all the stuff that you can't do. And that's the question you got to ask yourself. If salvation is by works, can you walk on water? We knew. Amen, brother. You know I'm right. That's why you're laughing, bro. Amen. You know I'm right. The only brother able to walk on water was Christ. That's the only brother. Right. I think Peter almost did it, but, you know, he just couldn't do it. You can't walk on water. Amen, brother. Amen. Preach the word, brother. Stay afloat. Preach the word. word, in season. Yeah. So you can't do it. So don't let nobody tell you that you got to do all this stuff to get saved. All you got to do is believe. That's it. And he said, once you believe the Holy Spirit comes into you, you will seal until the day of judgment, until I come back to get you, and I'm coming back to get you. That's it. See, Lucifer don't want you to know that it's that easy and that simple, because he didn't put his folks, amen, let me go back to some word. Let me get back to the scripture. You know me. I got to get the book.
Go ahead,
amen. Amen. Like the old school pastors say, it's in the book. Amen.
It's in the book.
It's in the book, brother. Amen.
It's in the book.
It's in the book.
I remember that sermon. It's in the book.
You remember that sermon? Amen. You remember that? Amen. It's in the book, brother.
It's in the book.
Bro, you ought to say, it's in the book. Watch this, brother. Amen. This is what Jude says. The book of Jude. Jude, the first chapter. Man, Jude is a good book. It's only one chapter. Man, you ought to read that tonight. The book of Jude is a good book. Watch the first chapter. Amen. Amen. I'm talking to everybody, brother. Everybody should read Jude. It's just one chapter. You can knock that out tonight.
Yes,
amen. Jude 1 and 4. Watch what it says in verse 4. It says, for there are certain men. Ooh, certain men. So they weren't saved men. They were unbelievers. See, the Bible, I like the word, man. If you just take your time and read it and interpret it, the Bible will tell you what you need to know. I tell people, man, what do you need to know? It's in the book. It's in the book. It is in the book.
It's in the book.
Brother, watch what it says. It says, for there are certain men. Amen. Who are these certain men? Amen. But it's these dirty men. That's a no good men. Amen. sneaking in the church men. Amen. Coming through the back door men. Amen. It says, for there are certain men. Yeah. Crept in unawares. Nothing where they didn't snuck in. They wooled in sheep's clothes.
Yeah.
They didn't snuck in. Amen. You ever see
a lot of
sneaky men?
Got a lot of men.
You got, boy, man, look here. That's a whole sermon that says a lot of that going on. Sneaky men and women. Sneaking in the church. Now watch this.
Sneaking,
brother. Watch what it says. It says, who were before, boy, you something else, brother. It says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? Man, look at here. In other words, it was already ordained for them to do that. It's kind of like Judas. It was already ordained for him to do what he did. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know what? No, he was made to do that. No, let's interpret that right.
No.
He did that by choice. And again, it's a reprobate mind, because you choose to be that way. Just like Pharaoh, he gave him many opportunities, and because he chose to be that way, the Heavenly Father just washed his hand from him. So he's just like some people, you know, you try to help him out,
yep.
You keep trying to help
yep.
him out, and then you just throw up your hand and say, you know what, I'll wash my hands from this person. He going to be what
exactly.
he going to be. Ain't nobody made
exactly.
him be. He made that choice to be like that, amen. He made that choice. This is what the Bible says. It says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation? They had already made up in their mind they're going to be evil men in the church. Now, why can't they be evil in the club? Why can't they be evil at the bar? Why can't they be evil down at the beach or at the strip club or hanging out, you know, with somebody's house and be evil? The Bible said that they didn't crept into it. Yeah. They just want it's just ungodly men.
Yeah.
And I get so sick and tired of people talking about, well, they used to be saved. They were never saved. Stop using that. The Bible says that nowhere. Ain't no used to be saved nowhere in the Bible. The Bible says that they were ordained from the beginning, it's what it's saying, that they were ungodly and unjust from the beginning. They never had salvation in them. It was ordained for them to come into the church and just be evil and ugly. It's a choice that they made. Watch what the scripture says. It says, turning the grace of our God, Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. Watch this. It says, into lasciviousness. Meaning turning into filth. And this is why folks don't want to get saved. Because folks just pervert, doing all kind of sneaky stuff in the church. And when folks come in like, man, I thought this was supposed to be the church. They talk about folks behind the back. They ain't speaking to newcomers in the church. They mistreating people, acting cold shoulder, acting better than people, acting fake. This is why folks can't come into the church and get saved. because you in the way. And hey, man, if we can get you out the way, we might get some more believers in here.
Overseer, you got to quit being mean to people. You just flat out mean now.
Amen. That's flat out mean. Amen. Brother, you know what? That's just the word. You know, amen.
The truth.
Brother, yeah. But you know what? Sometimes you gotta, you know, like the old school, man. You know, my dad and him used to preach. You know, some of the old school pastors, man, they didn't have, boy, man. They had folks leaving the church during the sermon.
Yeah.
So maybe this is one of them type of messages. Yeah. This is just the truth. People come up making up stuff that's not even the Bible. Man, I just gotten tired of it over the past 20 years. They just made, I'm like, that ain't even in the scripture. What book you reading from? That ain't nowhere in the 66 book. And you didn't put that in there. You know what the Bible says about putting stuff in the Bible? Over in Revelation, over in Revelation, way at the very back. You know, you got to be careful about putting stuff in and taking stuff out. Amen. It says, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's Revelation 22:19.
Man.
Folks just put stuff in the book. Don't add to the Bible. Don't take nothing out. But watch what it says. I'm going to finish up verse 4. We're going to move on. It says, and denying the only Lord, Yahweh, God of heaven, and our Lord, Yeshua, Christ. Amen. If you want to call him God and Jesus, you go right ahead. Amen. I don't even fight that battle no more. I don't knock nobody. It's okay if that's what you want to say. I still got family members. I understand. But amen. But all I'm saying to you, amen, that they are denying the only Lord.
Right.
People in church saying stuff against Christ. Oh, well, they've been saying he's going to come back. When he going to come back? Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. But go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Go with your job.
No, man. I'm just agreeing with everything you're saying. You know, it's funny though.
Oh, amen.
It's funny to an extent because, you know, we have witnessed this. I mean, in 2002, you know, when we was going to the church together, and it's so funny when you just say, "You already knew when you came in when we go into church."
What did you say?
I said, it was funny thing when you said that they have never been saved. You know what I'm saying? They already knew that they were coming in, you know, to tear up stuff. And that took me back to 2002 when we were sitting in church. And that happened.
Oh, man.
You know, that whole idea happened. They already knew what they were coming to do.
You know
what I'm saying? And they claim to be saved. And there wasn't nothing in there that was saved about that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it just, you know, it just everything that you're talking about, you know, it just makes me recall a lot of stuff in the current day that's happened. Maybe let you know that nothing is new up under the sun.
Right.
Nothing is new up under the sun. But go ahead. Well, go ahead. I'm enjoying it, folks. So yeah, go ahead.
Amen. No, brother, that's it. Amen. And so that's good, but that's the truth. And because a lot of times when I tell people that, you know, people they think you're making that stuff up. Okay, but you can't make like the young people say, man, I can't make this stuff up, man. I've been in church all my life. Some stuff you just can't make up. Amen. This is the real deal. Amen. Like the yuppa, this is the real deal. And so, you know, Amen, brother. Amen. Hold on one brief moment. Actually, you're all right, brother. No, you didn't break my flow. I was chained up this. I thought it was a mosquito. Amen. I think those kind of getting a little. Amen. You know, bro, got to watch that. You can't have that. Amen. All this stuff going on now. Amen. I have to take care of that mosquito. Amen. Now, coming from 2 Timothy, amen. 3-6. Now watch what it said, amen. Now we talked about the stuff that's going on, and a lot of people don't believe that we in the last days, but watch what the Bible says. Paul talks, it says in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, amen, he talks, it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, amen. You can say what you want to, but all my life, amen, I just think that there's some things going on here in the last, probably people would agree, in the last 20 years, some things have been happening. You know, we had the 9/11, we had the mortgage crisis, and then we had the other little virus that happened to, well, I forgot what that virus was called, a few years back. Now you got this virus. I feel like we're in perilous times. In fact, I know that we are. But watch this. Watch what verse 2 says. Amen. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Man, look at here. Boy, if that don't sound like we're in the last days, because men do love themselves, boy. People are even more conceited now. Amen. And then all that, you got men that love themselves so much, they don't need nobody else. Women, too. Amen. Lovers of themselves. Amen. And also lovers of the same sex. Amen. Let's just be real with it. Amen. But it's talking about lovers of themselves. The word says desirous. It says covetous. Boasters. Oh, man, people are boasting now. Everybody boasts. They got money. They got this. They got that. They got degrees. They smarter than you. They looking down on you. The Bible says proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Amen. I see a grown adult. The people always talk about the children disobedient to parents. I see grown adults disobedient. I ain't never seen nobody grown be disobedient to the parents. You can't tell me nothing. Man, I respected my dad and my grandparents, my grandmother, until they died. And if they spoke on for how old I was, I listened to them. Amen. Because you know what I realized? The older I get, the older they get. And they're going to always be your parents and your grandparents to the day they leave this world. And when people get to think, amen, brothers, talk to me. And when people get to think they so high, this is why the world is in the situation that it's in. Everybody all scared and fearful and all this type of stuff. Hey, this is what the Bible's talking about. Watch what it says. It says unthankful. Man, I hate to do something for people and they can't say thank you.
Ooh, that burned me up.
I'm like, man, you could at least say thank you. I'm not that type of person that I'm just hurt by it, but sometimes I just think about in my mind, I'm like, okay, you ain't going to say thank you. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you hold a door open for somebody. They just walk through the door like you the slave. Yeah, like you the servant, like you the maid or butler or something. Folks or something else. The Bible says unholy. Oh, they definitely unholy at this day and time. If it's any time that unholiness is going on in the world, amen, since the time of Noah, it's definitely going on at this day and time. Amen. We got all kind of parades going on. Amen. Folks are so brave now and so comfortable in their skin, people try to come at you the wrong way. The world is just so disrespectful. Amen. But I want to skip down to verse 6 real quick because I want to move a little faster. I want to skip down to verse 6 of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I'm going to skip down to verse 6. Now watch what it says. It says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses. Amen. Boy, look at that. I tell you, it's in the Bible. It could be 3,000. It could be your 3,000. This Bible, see, this is the word. People don't understand this. People say, oh, well, he's doing a new thing. No, he's not. He's doing the same thing. Stop making up stuff and putting stuff in the Bible. He ain't doing nothing. He's doing the same yesterday, today, as he will be for all eternity. And what he said back in eternity will last all eternity, past the time that we exist. So he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What he said 1,000 years ago is good enough today. See, people creeping into houses now. Watch this. And lead captive. Watch this. Silly women, amen, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Man, if this ain't going on, see, and I'm going to be nice about this, amen, but, you know, sometimes, you know, people will try to, you know, it's like people will try to use things to get what they want, and they really shouldn't. Like maybe their position or something like that. Don't try to take advantage of people and get over on people. That's what I don't like. You know, don't be that type of person that's trying to, you know, get over or take it. I just don't believe in that. You know, but it's a lot of these things going on. And so
day, man.
This is. Yeah, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was just saying, yeah, you know, every day is definitely going on, man. You know, so you're 100% right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't mean to break the flow. I could be agreeing with you.
No, okay, amen. But I know, cause, you know, sometimes, brother, you be one of, you know, you, come on in. I know sometimes you be saying some pretty good stuff that bless my soul, brother.
I was just trying to double dutch in there. Sometimes I don't. It's all good.
Amen.
You know, what you're saying, man, it's good stuff, you know, that everybody needs to hear. So
amen. That's it, brother. A student for life, brother. A student for life, and amen,
yes,
and all glory to the Most High, amen. All glory to the Most High, amen. So, so that's just the mindset and the mentality. You know, you want to know where all this stuff is coming from. This is where it's coming from, amen.
Right.
This is where it's coming from. It's because Lucifer knew he was losing. He had lost. He was losing. He had lost. So he implant his people all over the planet, amen, to deceive people and act like they church, act like they love the Lord, but they're not.
Right.
And I try to tell people,
right,
man, this right here is the only right way. This is the only true God, the God we serve. All these other religions and denominations and all these different cults and serving these demonic gods, talking about this is God too. No, it ain't. And it can't be God because they only got one name. See, I only got one name. Name is Tim. So, you know, you can't call me Ed. Ed is not my name. So I'm not going to, just because, see, you can't make the Most High God in some other religion and give it a name and say, oh, this is God too. See, we got the same book. No, we don't. If we got the same book, why ain't we reading out of the same book? Why we got to have two different books to say two different things? Yeah, that means that's two different gods. That's what that means. You got a book that don't read like my book, that means we got two different gods. That's what that means. It don't mean that we got the same God, amen. Well, that's something else. You doing something else over there. And so I've heard so many different things down the road down the years. I even had a lady tell me, and I'm not going to say what the religion is, but she said, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I got a pastor. He's a Baptist pastor. And he's my pastor on that side. He said, "What I'm living is, see." He said, "But the religion I'm in is all right. It's good. It's the same thing." I said, "Look at that boy. There's false prophets everywhere." Now he probably deceiving his flock, so called flock. He deceiving you, and so we already know what that's gonna lead to. That's why so many souls is lost, because Lucifer has crept these men in unawares. Okay, he snuck them in. And folks just in the church but believing them, cause the music sound good, cause the church is beautiful, all the choir could sing, all the band could jam, all they can really praise and worship, he can really throw a towel into the audience, or he can really shatter and moonwalk across the floor. Man, look at here. See, you are entertained. See, you ain't going to church to get saved. You are entertained. And because you've just been entertained, this is the church for you. Oh, ain't nobody tell you. The spirit is in here. Boy, the spirit ain't no more in there than he is in the parking lot. How you going to make the spirit? Man, I'm telling you, brother. You know what? Amen, brother. I'm just going off tonight. Brother, am I not in the book?
But you're in the book.
Am I not?
You neck high in the book. I'm telling you, it's up to your neck. You know, you're so deep in that.
Hey, man.
I'm telling you.
Hey,
yeah,
brother.
It's funny how you're saying, you know, different things you say are funny. But it's the truth, though. It's the truth. You know, you can't
hey, man.
Out of it. But, hey, laughter is good for the soul. So it's all good.
It is, amen. They said it's also longevity for life, amen. brother, I'm just saying, amen, bro. I'm just saying because, and maybe I'm on my soapbox tonight, brother, amen, but I'm just saying I see so many things in church, and I hear so many things, I'm just like, you know how sometimes people just do things and just discuss you, and you just drop your own, like, that's not even in the book. They're supposed to put stuff in the Bible. Oh, my Lord. You know, and you just get so sick and tired of the stuff that people do with the church because people don't realize. I tell people, man, yeah, that was very entertaining, but what did the pastor talk about? Did he talk about how you can get saved? Did he tell you how you can get saved? Did he tell you about the plan of salvation? Did he tell you that all you have to do is believe in your heart and receive Christ and believe that the Heavenly Father raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved for all eternity? Did he tell you that you would be saved for all eternity? Did he tell you that he loves you so much that he can't, no one can pluck you out of his hand, meaning that you can't lose your salvation? Did he teach that? Did he teach that Christ is coming back soon and we need to quit planning, we need to get it right, we need to tell as many family members, friends, even tell your enemies that Christ is coming back? You don't want to be here when the great tribulation is here. Are we telling people these things? No.
Hey.
Man, brother, you know I'm... Yeah. No, instead, we current cartwheels in the church. We run all around the church. I'm like, okay, I got that. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for praise and worship, too. But, man, come on. When are we going to get to the thick of things? We've had fun. Now it's time to get down to business. Are we going to open up the door to the church? We dismissing. Man, we ain't talking about Christ and the cross and so many things that's just going on. And this is what I'm saying. That's why I came with the numbers last night, and I talked about the two candlesticks. And what I said was if you take two and you divide it by seven, that's about 28.5%. So somewhere between 28 and 29%, that's the number that's going to be saved out of the church. So if you take 100 people, somewhere between 28 to 29 people, Christ is coming back to get. That means majority of the church is lost. And don't try to get technical and say, well, you got this many people in the church, how you know this and how you know that. Look, it's a spiritual thing. I tell you, if you study your Bible, you'll see some things. Amen. So that means out of 100 people, he's only coming, and a lot of people are going to be, understand what I'm saying. When he comes back to get the church, he ain't coming back to get the folks at the club because we know they ain't coming back for them. So we're not including them in the 100. Amen. But I'm serious, man, because folks be playing. What about this? We ain't talking about that. We talking about the folks that come inside your church every Sunday. He ain't coming back to get everybody. And if you think I'm playing, I'm not. He's not, because it ain't because he don't want to come back to get them. It's because folks is playing games in the church. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. There's going to be so many hells. The Bible says hells will enlarge itself.
Man.
That means that if we got 100 people in this church and only 28 or 29 of them is going back, that's not including the other 100 people that's outside the church. That's a lot of people going to hell is what I'm trying to tell you. That's a lot of people. So 200 going to hell and only 29 going to heaven. This is scripture. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And it said a few. It didn't say a lot. It didn't say half. It didn't say 75% or 80% or 90%. It said, and few there be that find it. Read your scriptures. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Spend hours. Don't just pick it up and read a scripture and go watch TV. You got to dig into this thing. You got to meditate and fast and pray. Amen. That's Matthew 7, chapter verses 13 and 14. Christ says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, who do you think is going to be saying, Lord, Lord, did we do your will, Lord, Lord? You know, have we not prophesied in our name and cast out devils? It ain't the people going to clubs and strip clubs going to say that. Man, he's talking about the people in the church. That other lost number of people, the other 71 or 70% or 72 that's lost, that's who's going to say that. The people who's tottering and teetering between religions. I think I'm like, man, what? How you going to be over in this religion and say you over here in the church? What kind of mess?
You can't do that.
Oh, well, yeah, well, we read out of both books. Oh,
no,
my
you can't
Lord.
Do that.
Amen. The Bible said that I'd rather you be what? Revelation. Amen. Back over to the book of Revelation. Amen. I believe it's Revelation, the third chapter. Amen. I said, I like to go, brother, you know, I like how you go back and forth between scripture, but you have to use scripture because a lot of times people think that you just be making up stuff. And the reason why I use scripture is because I found out a lot of people do be making up stuff. And so now when people say that, I'm like, wait a minute, brother, wait, sister, where is that at? Show me. Where is it at? I ain't never seen that. I ain't never read that. You got to show me. You can't be just pulling stuff out the air and just making it up.
Come help you out.
Yeah. Amen. Watch what it says. Amen. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 16. Hey, now, let me go to 15. Let me throw in verse 15. It says, Revelation, third chapter, verse 15. It says, I know thy works. This is Christ. Christ said, I know you. See, I tell people all the time, you ain't going to sneak in. You ain't going to fall in line. You don't get in by accident. You don't get in because Big Mama went to church. You don't get in because Papa went to church. You don't get in because, I don't know, somebody been praying for you. That ain't how it works. You got to get in and know that you know. And I tell people all the time that salvation is a sure thing. Paul said that we may have confidence when we see him, meaning that I know he's coming back to get me. And when I see him, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's coming to get me after he raised the dead in Christ first. Then he's going to resurrect me. And I'm going to love his appearing when he comes. I know that I'm saved. I go to bed every night knowing that I'm saved. See, ain't no, you know, it breaks my heart, brother, to hear people almost 100 years old in church talking about, well, I hope I get in. What? Man, you've been in church for two lifetimes and you hoping you get in? Man, you got to know you're getting in. What's this hope stuff? If you hoping you're getting in or you ain't for sure, you ain't going. Let me help you out with that. If you don't know, you ain't going. You got to know that you're saved. Oh, well, I'm sitting for 60, 70, 80 years late. I be want to ask them, how long y'all been in church? You hope you get in? Man, look at here. What boy, folks is playing. This is because, again, a bunch of false prophets just going to church, just sitting up under somebody, and ain't reading and studying your own Bible. So you're going to miss heaven because you don't want to pick up your Bible and read and study for yourself. Man, please. Yeah, exactly. Boy, man, I'm going to be one of the ones he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. I don't want to hear them other words. Depart from me.
Amen.
Thou work of
iniquity.
I know you. See, that won't be me. Amen. I'm not going to play with my soul. This, the most important thing you got is your soul. The word says, naked you came, and naked for sure you're going to leave this world. With me, you can't take nothing that you got. I don't care how many degrees you got, how much money you got, how many expensive luxury cars you got, all these different advertisements, how you can make money doing this and doing that. Man, you can't take none of that mess with you. The Bible said, what profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul?
Boy, you
amen. Back over to Revelation. Hey, I'm sorry. Back over to Revelation, the third chapter, verse 15. It says, I know thou works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou was cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Man, the book is deep. So what Christ is basically saying, I'd rather you be in the church, coming to Sunday school, coming to Wednesday night, on time to church, serving in the church, studying and reading your Bible, fasting and praying without ceasing, loving the brother and the sister, visiting the sick. I'd rather you be working in the church or be out there in the club shaking and doing whatever you do instead of coming into my church playing. Man, get out of here, brother. Hey, bro, I think I need to go and shut it down for the night. Hey, man. Bro, I'm just saying, brother. I'm just saying. That's the word. That's the word. I can't give y'all a revelation tonight because we only got so much time. And plus, I haven't even got there yet. So I have to wait to get to revelation. Amen. Amen, man. You got warm in here. Amen. I didn't plan on doing it, man. I feel like I'm in the pulpit. I'm up here sweating bullets and everything. Amen.
Oh, well, I mean, that way, even if you shut it down, everybody ate good for at least a little bit over an hour.
Amen. Yeah. Hey, brother, we got a little bit more time. I was just saying it. Amen. I got a little bit more to share, but I'm just saying, amen. I want people to be saved. You know what Paul said? Paul said it best, man. We want you to be saved. We don't want you to miss the train. My dad used to always talk about the glory-bound train when I was a boy. He said, don't miss the glory-bound train. What is this man talking about, the glory-bound train? What is he talking about? He's talking about, man, don't miss salvation when Christ came back to get the church. Don't get your tickets. Stay free. They free. Can't nobody take them. Let me tell you about these tickets. They ain't like these other tickets. Like when you go on Ticketmaster and you order them, you can lose your ticket. They lie. Something happened. They shut down. I've heard people say they pay for concert tickets. They couldn't get money back. You couldn't go to the concert. All kind of games. Yeah. See, I tell you, Lucifer play all kind of games. See, Yahweh and Yeshua, they don't play them games. When you get your ticket, it's yours forever. You got it. Can't nobody take your ticket from you. It's yours. You can best believe once you get your ticket, he coming back to get you. That's a guarantee.
Yes,
watch what it says.
Yes,
Paul said it. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my prayer for you tonight. That's you. I want you to be here with me. I ain't hateful. I ain't jealous. I don't tell people you got to do all this stuff to get. See, people be playing games with you. When you get saved, you got to come on down to the church. Boy, you been dying in a car wreck on the way to the church. Then what you going to do?
Yeah. Exactly.
Person may have a heart. Anything can happen. You got to come to church to get saved. You ain't got to come. You get saved in your bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You get saved in your bedroom. Yeah, at your kitchen table. At your job, in your car. Man, don't let people play games with you. You can get saved. And you don't need no folks laying no hands on you, slapping no oil on you, telling you you saved. It ain't high. Well, I've seen so much stuff in church. I'm like, what is this? Where did they get this stuff? That ain't nowhere in the Bible. Oh, well, let me oil you up. And that, what is, man, these folks are playing with folks. That's nowhere in the Bible. Yeah, ain't nobody got to know that you can do it on your own by yourself and say, Lord, I want to be saved. Hey, I did it myself 20 years ago, driving home one day. And I saw my stop sign. And I had thought, I said, Tim, what are you doing? I said, I was raised better than this. I was raised in the church. My dad's a pastor. What am I doing? Things are going good. And I said, you know what? I said, Heavenly Father, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. That's exactly what I said. Not knowing that hell and Lake of Fire are two different places at the time, but I said, Heavenly Father, I don't want to go to hell. I said, whatever you got to do, save my soul. Whatever you got to do, be careful what you ask for, because he did save my soul. But amen.
Yes,
but I'm saying, you can receive salvation free tonight, any age. Man, the younger the better. I tell young people, no, you definitely come get saved. I remember when young people used to ask me, can I get saved? Man, baby, yes, you can just say, come on. Christ says, suffer not little children, for such is the kingdom of Yahweh, is the kingdom of God. The Bible says, train up a child the way that he should go, and they shall not depart. The best time to teach them is when they're young. You're trying to wait and save them when they all grown and 18. They doing everything up under the sun. You want to try to get them saved now. You should have been getting them saved at 2. When they can talk, they get them saved. They talking, tell them about salvation. It ain't never too early.
Exactly.
And the chances are they going to get into heaven before you will anyway if they kids.
Exactly. A lot of these kids can rap a whole song at 36 months.
Yeah.
You know
oh, man.
In the world.
Oh, you man, don't start. Man, all the little kids be doing all these amazing dances and singing. So I'm like, man, I can't even do that now. All this stuff these kids doing. I'm like, why ain't they got these babies in church? See, that's where they need them. Oh, man, well, that's a whole nother word, man. Let me quit fooling with you. Amen. But I want you to be saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 through 13. Read it tonight. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, if you call on the name of Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's just that simple. I've heard so many different things about salvation that's just not true. Man, I wanted to get into Corinthians, but we're going to worry about that. We're going to get into that. We're going to be off next week. We're going to be on next week. We're going to take a vacation because I'm going to be on tomorrow night and Sunday night. We're going to be on at 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. East Coast Time, and 3 p.m. West Coast Time on Sunday night. Tomorrow night I'll be back on also with Spiritual Sense Life, teaching about Revelation. We're going to be doing talking about the Revelation chapter 3 tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central Time. No, sorry, 6 p.m. Central, 7 East Coast, and 4 p.m. West Coast Time tomorrow. And then on Sunday, we'll be back on the air, 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. East Coast Time, and 3 p.m. West Coast Time Sunday. And we're going to be talking about Revelation. We're going to be digging back into Revelation. So, amen. Hopefully something was said to bless you. I'm not done. I got a few more things I want to share with you because, again, I want you to be saved. That's it. My desire is that Israel might be saved. I want you to be saved because I love you. That's real love. That's right now at this day and time. That's all pastors all over the world should be preaching right now. It's salvation, love, and the return of our Lord and Savior. That's okay, you know, to throw in some other sermons. It's good to break it up, amen. But I've been led to just give you revelations right now because, you know, so many people ain't heard some of the things in Revelation. And it's a shocking to talk to people. It's like, man, you've been in church for 50 to 70 years and you ain't heard nothing about Revelation? Ain't nobody else, no. And then some pastors, no, my pastors don't want you to teach a real. A lot of pastors are running from that. Oh, we don't want to talk about some rare. Wait a minute, buddy. You know the last book in the Bible. You don't talk about that. It's the last book of the Bible for a reason. It means you probably won't go back there and see. You probably won't go back there and see what it says, brother.
Yes, sir. You may want to check that out.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's there. Like, it don't even exist. Revelation, what is that? That a drink, brother. That's the last book of the Bible.
That a drink.
Man, what you say?
Yes, sir.
What you say, brother? Yeah, you got to read the last book. It's backed up for it's the last book for a reason, man. You got to read that book. It's the message from Christ to the church.
Mm-hmm. That one,
amen.
Thing everybody should be sharing this post. I mean, this blog. Because,
man,
this fire talk tonight.
Amen. Amen. Spiritual Freestyle Fridays, amen. We just freestyle. We just talk about the word, amen. We just want you to be saved. Again, the tickets are free. Salvation is easier than drinking water. Salvation is easier than you breathing. You got to have both water and air, amen. But you got to have salvation if you want to live for all eternity. If you want to live, you got to have salvation. You ain't sneaking in. Christ said it best. He said, the only way through the Father is through me.
That's right. That's right.
And if you don't go through me, you can't get to the Father. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 25. Receive salvation. It's free. It's yours. Man, he is on your side. I'm on your side. Man, I'm here, you know, speaking the word. You know, we're blessed. You know, any way that we can, what we can do, we're praying for everybody. You know, we love everybody, and we want you to be saved. It ain't about no money and no name and no title and all that stuff and how many this and who over this. It's not about that. It's time out for all that. It's time out for all the showboats. It's time out for who church is biggest and who got the most people, who got the biggest house, the biggest car, the biggest church, who got the best choir, who got this. Christ is on his way back. See, while you playing all these silly games in the church, Christ said, I don't care about none of that. I want to know, do you believe? If you read the gospel, the whole time throughout the gospel, any time he did a miracle, it was a straight face. He asked him, yeah, I know you saw me heal the sick. Yeah, I know I just raised that man from the dead. But I want to know, do you believe? See, that's the message. Yeah. Do you believe? I know everything. Yeah, I know you heard the word. I know maybe some things were funny. But do you believe? At the end of the day, I want to know, have you received salvation? Do you believe? It's about your soul, because I know where I'm going. If I don't live the next day, I know where I'm going. Paul said,
right,
absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know where I'm going. Question is, do you know where you're going beyond the shadow of a doubt? See, we don't fear death. See, the Bible said he had not given us the spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying to you is, we all may meet our demise if Christ don't come back and get us first. And so we don't fear death. Meaning that when we close our eyes, we wake up, the angels of glory is right there to take us on back to glory.
Amen.
Why would you want to be a part? Instead, the Bible said they lift their eyes in hell. You shall lift up your eyes if you don't receive it. Man, that's got to be the worst nightmare ever. And I'm so sick and tired of people playing these games. I've been to hell. Boy, if you don't stop lying, ain't nobody been to hell. If you went to hell and could come back, you would die in the flesh. That's how horrible hell.
Yeah.
You can't imagine hell. Just like you can't imagine heaven, you can't imagine hell. Ain't nobody been to hell. Ain't nobody been to heaven. I'm so sick and tired of people trying to sell books and tell stories and get views and like, well, I've been to heaven. The Bible says that John is the only man that was, and he was called, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He's the only man that went up to heaven according to the Scripture. And the only other person that may have went was Moses and Enoch and Elijah. Amen.
So
these folks,
they still had a lot of people writing books and lying.
I remember this book came out. Oh, yeah, brother. This book came out that was real popular when I first got saved back in 99 or 2000. Some woman wrote this book, and he had a bunch of big church, big name pastors to co-sign on this mess. I'm like, boy, they need to all quit lying. Talking about she been to heaven. She described how hell was. And like, what are these folks? These folks just need to stop. There ain't nobody been to hell. Man, I'm gonna tell you something. If they could go there, the first thing they would tell you, boy, they would have a certain, they would be on fire for the Lord. Trust me, they wouldn't care what the man. They'd be traveling the world. They walk the streets preaching nonstop, on fire. If you've been to hell and know what hell is like, come out to me, man. Don't you dare, man. Read Luke, man. If I had a little time, I'd show you where it says over in Luke. Man, we ain't got time, but. Man, I got a little bit of time. Let me see if I can find that real quick. Man, you're supposed to quit playing, man. Let's see if I can find that real quick. How about they been to hell, boy?
I wish I would have came up with that gimmick before I got saved.
So you wish you would have came up with that, huh? Man, no, here it is right here.
They believe it, man. They believe it.
Yeah.
Man. You cannot tell them different.
Yeah. Oh, man, the Bible says that people have itching ears.
Yeah. I'd be like, man, come on. And, they stole you a story. And you doubt you. You know. That was so crazy.
Yeah, man. People make up anything. Bro, I'm gonna read these few scriptures right here in a little bit. Then okay. Yeah, I just want to share this with you real quick. A lot of people say a lot of things. Luke the 16th chapter. No. Some people say, oh, well, you know, that scripture, that verse, and all that. that's not a, that was just a parable of Christ. He was just using the description. That's not literal. I heard people say that, and I see how people say, oh, that's not really literal. Okay. Well, let's go with their description of Luke 16, what I'm about to read. Let's just say, according to the rich man, Lazarus and Dives was a rich man. So let's just roll with what people say. Oh, that wasn't real. So let's use this hypothetical story, which is, of course, is in red, meaning that Christ said it. So let's say that if, so understand this. I tell people who like to say this, oh, we know Christ really means that way. Well, here's the thing. If Christ said something, I like to take what Christ said as face value, all because the Messiah himself said it. So meaning that if it was just a prophet, or if he was just making up a story, he made it up for a reason, meaning that it's probably true, because we know he's a true word, and we know that he don't lie. So if he said it, it means that it could be possibly true, meaning that more likely it was true. So now we're going to go ahead and read Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 27. Watch what it says. It says, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. Now watch what he says. He said, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Meaning that they have the scripture, they have preachers, they have teachers, evangelists, bishops, overseers, Abraham, the Moses and the prophets. They have the word, is what they said. They got people who teach the truth about our Lord and Savior and our Most High God, Yahweh, the Heavenly Father. It says in verse 8, he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went out unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Boy, that's a powerful word. I don't know what to tell you, brother. And, hey, stop selling wolf chicken. Stop lying to people. Ain't nobody died and came back. Ain't nobody died and went to hell. Ain't nobody died and went to heaven. And the Lord ain't going to permit that.
Yeah.
We got us. That's what we're here for. We good enough. We teaching you the word. What we got is good enough. Them folks in hell can't come back and tell you nothing that we can't tell you about the Lord. Okay, what they going to tell you? Hell is hot, hell is torment, hell is dark. Yeah, I'm quite sure it is. That's what we tell you. That's why we don't really focus on that. We focus on getting right so you won't find out. Amen. How about that? So, brother,
you show.
That being said, you amen, Spiritual Freestyle Fries, we won't be here next week. We're going to take a vacation because I got two more days to go. It's been a beautiful week to minister to you and to bless, be a blessing. That's the main goal, just to be a blessing, just to help people get saved. We're trying to get as many people into the kingdom before Christ come back. Again, whether he come back tonight, tomorrow, next year, 1,000 years, we don't really know when he's going to come back. I don't believe it's going to be 1,000 years. I believe it's going to be a lot sooner than later, I can tell you that. But in regards, you know, you may not live till the next day. You need to get saved. So we just want you to be saved, brother. I'm going to give you the last words. I'm going to get it shut down. We'll be back on the 31st of July, Freestyle Friday. I'll be back tomorrow night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Brother, that's it for me. Did you have anything before we shut it down? Go ahead, brother.
Again, I hope everybody got something out of what you just said and what you have been talking about for the last hour and a half. You know,
amen.
On tomorrow, but but when we come back, I want to start also, you know, educating my people on health also, and,
right?
Because health is a major thing. So, you know,
amen.
I did this on a segment or whatnot that we can actually add that in, because I know so many people right now that my age and younger that's struggling with, you know, different diseases, and then have a topic on life insurance and stuff like that, man. You know, stuff that really impacting.
Amen.
The African American community. So that's all I want to say, my brother. I enjoyed it. tonight.
Amen. Me too. All glory to the Most High. Amen. But all right, so that's the last minute. That's the last word. Y'all be blessed. We love y'all. You all have a good night, brother. I'm going to holler at you later, brothers. Y'all be blessed. I love every one of y'all. Bless the kingdom family. Take care. Stay safe. Until next time. Amen. Have a good night.
Good night.